And it is 11 o'clock. You're listening to 97.7 The Wolf. John here with you. We are going to the Houghton County Courthouse and Todd Van Dyke for a news conference. Todd.
Good morning, John. We are getting ready here, and there's a few seconds away from the beginning of a news conference that is going to outline kind of where we are and where we are going in terms of the aftermath of the terrible storms that brought their way through the Copper Country early on Sunday. We have a whole bunch of people here. They are going to be speaking one at a time from the podium and then taking some questions from the audience. We'll bring you the audio from that as best we can here from the courtroom at the county building. Of course, the Copper Country still has some areas underwater. We still have roads that aren't working, and it's been a scramble not only to try to get things functioning again, but on the organizational side of this, to try to get a handle on how we are going to proceed, where we are going to get resources from, and how we're going to deal with all of this. And this is information that we're going to be getting now. So thank you for tuning into this broadcast. We have officials from all of the major county agencies here. Sheriff McLean is here, and Eric Forsberg, who is the county controller, is approaching this podium, and it looks as if he's going to speak first. We have emergency officials from many of the counties around us, Gilgibbick County, which went through a similar situation a couple of years ago. Scott Dianda is here. I think Eric Forsberg is ready to address us here.
As we know, our county has been severely impacted by some pretty severe rains and flooding. What we want everybody to know immediately is that we are working, as are all the people behind me, to remedy the situation right now. Many of us have been impacted by this. We want you to know that things are being worked on right now with the help of our residents, all these agencies. We are doing our best to get things put back together. I'm going to turn this over to Emergency Services Coordinator for Houghton County, Chris Van Arsdale, who will give you an overview. And then we've got all these folks here behind me to address specific topics.
Good morning. So starting early Sunday morning, Houghton County experienced severe rains. We had about 7 inches of rain within 24 hours, which ties the 1909 record for rainfall in the area. As a result of that severe rain and also the terrain in our area, we had pretty significant damage to roads and to quite a few homes throughout the county. We will talk about several different topics today. We're going to start with safety. First, we did declare a local state of emergency yesterday. That was followed by a request to the state for a state declaration, a state disaster declaration, which was issued. What that means is that the incident exceeded our local resource capability, and so we were requesting additional resources from the state. And those resources have been and are being provided as we speak. We have agencies, not only all of the agencies in the county, but agencies from other counties in Michigan and from other states, in fact, as well as state resources as well. Safety is certainly our first priority. And so first, if anyone is aware of anyone that is stranded or needs assistance, we encourage you to have them, or if they can't communicate, to call 911 and report that. We believe we have covered almost all the areas or all the areas in the county at this point, but if there's somebody that we've missed that you're aware of, we would encourage people to report that. We do have significant washouts in more than 80 roads in the county, of which more than 40 are impassable. We are encouraging members of the public to keep away from those areas as much as possible. Not only does it slow the crews that are out trying to restore some of those areas, but they're also very dangerous. There are a lot of places where roads have been undercut that are not visible, and you can walk along and the pavement could give way in places. So please be very cautious of where you're going and keep away from those areas that we do know are damaged. Water. There have been a lot of questions about public water systems. There was a boil water advisory that has been lifted in all areas except for 50 customers that have been notified in the Torch Lake area. If all the municipal water systems have been checked for their integrity and are operating correctly and safely, if you have a private well at your house and it's been damaged or it's been submerged, we're encouraging them to contact the health department and make sure that they can get that tested to make sure that it's safe to drink. There were 3 reported municipal storm sewer overflows or combined storm sewer overflows. As a result of that, there is a beach closure notice for all of the beaches in the area. And the health department staff has been out and in contact with restaurants in the affected area and is working with them to ensure food safety. Most are open. There are some that are closed. If you're planning on going out to eat, please call ahead and make sure that they are open and that they're accessible. Some are closed because of the washouts. Other utilities. A lot of gas mains were exposed as a result of these washouts. There are some that are hanging in air. SEMCO has been out trying to cover or support those or wrap those to protect them. We're encouraging people, if you smell gas or you hear gas flowing, to please call 911 or contact SEMCO's emergency number and make sure that's reported. As we're working on roads, things may be exposed more or less. So again, it's really important that people stay away from those areas as much as they can. Debris removal. We are working on setting up a larger scale debris removal system. Until that time, we are asking residents that if you have debris that needs to be removed from a flooded basement or something like that, follow your local municipal guidelines for trash. So if you have trash bags that you normally do, that's what we're asking you to do at this time. We are working on a larger scale system because we know that's going to be exceeded pretty fast. But for now, that's the plan and the instructions for people. So roads. I mentioned there are quite a few washouts out there. Again, we have more than 80 roads impacted and more than 40 that are not passable. However, there are some that are. US 41 is open from one end to the other. It is one lane in several places, and that is being monitored to make sure that it does not deteriorate due to an ongoing there is quite a lot of water still flowing in a lot of places. So M26 is open from the lift bridge through Ripley to Dollar Bay. It is only open to local traffic, and we would encourage only absolutely necessary traffic between Dollar Bay and Lake Linden. That road list is ongoing. They're still out inspecting, and so that literally is changing hour to hour. We do have damage assessment teams out as of about an hour and a half ago. They are on foot in most places, and they're going literally door to door in communities to try and come up with our preliminary damage assessment. So if you see them out there, say hi. They're all volunteers that are mostly from our area and some from out of the area. So we do thank them for their assistance. Next, what people can do to help. So we have been in contact with 211. If people have questions, and that is the number we'd like people to call, they can call and ask questions about what they should be doing, what they can do. If they are interested in volunteering, we have set up a volunteer registration center. They can get that number from 211, or I will also give you the number you can dial directly. It is 906-233-6621. And so anyone in the community or outside of the community that would like to volunteer, you can call that number. They will, as we get assignments in from municipalities, we will dispatch teams to that area. If teams have their own equipment or volunteers have their own equipment in terms of gloves, rakes, shovels, wheelbarrows, any of that kind of stuff, that would be great. If they don't, they can sign up and volunteer also. We are looking for that type of of equipment. If you know of a source or if you can provide a source, we're gathering that as well. Donations, if you have an in-kind or goods, the City of Houghton's Police Department is coordinating that, and we're gathering those at the D Stadium, so including rakes, shovels, that kind of thing. Gloves, work gloves probably are the biggest thing. Their number for the City Police Department is 906-482-2121. And then there are, we have two verified donation locations that have been set up. The Portage Health Foundation, their number is 906-523-5920. And the Keweenaw Community Foundation, which is 906-482-9673. And they are, they've set up accounts to take donations for the people with damage. So, we are a whole community in this response. It really is a community effort. If you look at the people who are out on the streets filling in holes, trying to trace down where water has flowed, digging out storm drains, it really has taken a lot of people, and the first responders have been really great in this regard. So we very much appreciate their help and all the volunteers that have come forward. We literally have had calls from all over the country, one from Arkansas, in fact, that wants to come and cook food. So we really do appreciate it. It is a whole community effort in responding, and that will help us get through this. So we will take a few questions for some time, if there are any. Yes.
Chris, who do they call for damage assessment if they're in the outlying areas as far as, I know the major areas, teams are going through, but there's others in rural areas and that have damage. Where do they call?
So they can call 211 for that as well. So if they have questions or if their home is damaged, they can call that number and make sure we get it on our list. Especially, like you said, if they're out of town, that is really important. We have eight teams out there. It's about almost 40 people, I would say. But if you're out on a small road or a private road, it would be very helpful for us to know that. So please call that number and you can report it.
Chris, we should probably be clear on the damage assessment. This is to help us do a measurement for purposes of getting on the FEMA disaster list. This is not for purposes of doing an assessment for your insurance or just to find out if your home is structurally safe. This is only for our assessment purposes for federal.
Correct. Yep. So the damage assessment teams won't be going in the buildings. It's all done from outside. They'll take pictures. There's a scale that they rate each structure on. So that's what they're looking at.
You mentioned about handling debris, making the typical procedures. Question I have is, how are you defining debris? Are you talking about yard debris, like branches and stuff like that, or are you talking about
all of those things. So what would you do? Kind of the same process that you would use if you were cleaning out, somebody's basement, using that same process. So, every community is a little bit different. So following their guidelines for now is what we're encouraging people to do for all of those things. Yes.
Is there an estimation of the number?
So we did have a shelter open the last two nights. The first night there were four people in it, and last night there were zero. We did an evacuation in the Hubble area, about a four square block area, on Sunday, and we estimated that was 80 to 90 homes. So we don't have an exact number of people, but in that ballpark probably. In terms of the shelter, like I said, we only had four people the first night and no one last night. So, yeah.
You spoke a little bit about doing the assessments for FEMA. Can you talk a little bit about their process? Do you need to provide them with a certain number and a threshold, then they're involved?
So,
as a follow-up? if FEMA is involved, do private property owners get assistance?
So we're still working through the it's a rather in-depth process. The overall process is we declare a local emergency when our resources were expended or exceeded. We requested the state emergency. We received that declaration. And then as the state, so that opens us up to the ability to apply for FEMA relief. Part of that process then is this damage assessment. We have to be able to give them an approximate number. It's actually in two parts. There's kind of the utility part, roads in our case is really the big one. And then there's the individual part, which are homes. And so that's the next step to get that number together. We're not sure if it's going to be done in the next day or two or if it's going to take three. Hopefully this afternoon when we get some of the reports back, we'll see how it's going. But that's the next step. And from there, then if there's a very specific list of guidelines we have to follow. There is a financial threshold you have to meet, and it's based on per capita. It gets very complicated in the weeds, but essentially that's the process we're walking through. It's not a guarantee, but that's the direction that we're working towards.
Just kind of a follow-up on this question. With the damage assessments by private property owners, all the people want to meet the threshold, doesn't that mean it's extremely important for everybody to get those assessments and not just
correct. Yep. It's very important, not only from the assessment standpoint, but any, it doesn't apply so much to the general public, but what we've been telling all the municipalities and all the agencies, every hour, every bottle of water, everything must be accounted for. We have to know exactly how many people were there, how long they were there, what equipment they used, how many gallons of fuel they burned, because all of that gets counted towards that threshold number. So even if you get a truckload of water donated, that's great. We need to know what would the cost of that be so that we can account for those things. So all the agencies have been asked and all the municipalities have been asked to keep track of that information, and then as we get closer to that, we will start to collect it from each agency, each group, to account for that. But yes, from a home standpoint or an individual standpoint, that's also the reason we want to make sure that we account for that. That doesn't mean you can't start cleaning up. You don't have to wait for the team to get there. And in fact, if you're not there, that's all right. Like I said, they don't actually go in the buildings, but it is important that we do that. So if you, especially if you're in an area that is not along 26 or not along Canal Road or not in Stanton Township, kind of these out-of-the-way places where maybe yours is the only home that was damaged especially, or your camp or something like that, that's really important that we call because those are ones that are a lot easier for us to miss. So call 211 for those.
You said beaches are closed. Is that countywide or is that county area?
That is countywide at the moment. Correct.
All baby beaches in Houghton County. But beyond that, because there were sewage discharges, the health department is recommending that no one have any recreational contact with the waterways. For instance, a Portage waterway in Torch Lake. We did bacterial tests this morning at Four Points, and we'll have those results in 18 hours. But we're recommending that you don't go fishing, you don't go out in your kayak, and have any contact with the water because of those sewage discharges, which would have been expected in a rain event like this. And then we'll be getting information out daily and weekly updates, and as we're able to reopen the beaches.
Going on to the question as well. Wondering, in my situation, I don't have any damage to my home, but I now have to spend what looks like quite a bit of money to protect my home going forward due to erosion. And would that be included in some of the assessment funds that we could put out there?
So we're not talking about the damage assessment teams are just measuring what happened. It doesn't really have to do with like what. It does not mean that an individual is going to get that money. It's an overall picture of what was the cost of the incident is what we're looking at.
And going off my question, I have for the last several years, because of my location, attempted to get flood insurance. My buddies had been unable to get it because I was told that our area was not participating in the program and that's where you should make that available. Is that something that maybe change the future or?
So There are, I believe, if I remember correctly, two areas in the county that are in designated floodplains. That we get that question a lot from people who, when they buy insurance, their insurance company wants to know. But there are only those two places that have been floodplain mapped. And that's done at the local level, so the township typically. That's really where to start with that question is, will townships do that in the future? That's up to each township. Yes.
Any new injuries reported, and what the status is of the boy reported?
So we have had two reported injuries, one minor and one serious. The serious injury happened early Sunday morning. He was evacuated to the Portage Hospital and then was airlifted to U of M in Ann Arbor. We've not heard an update since that time, so we will leave that up to the hospital to deal with in terms of updates. Yes?
Or for him, that would be more updates on the actual 50 right now, so that's a dollar day to like one at a time.
Yeah, so we are looking right now at permanent solutions for the Sweet Town Creek on M203. Of course, that was a total loss. So we're looking at permanent and possibly a temporary bridge solution at that location. And we have meetings going on with our internal design staff, including several folks from our Lansing office, to expedite a fix on M203 one way or another, permanent and or temporary. That's going on right now. M26 between Dollar Bay and Lake Linden. We're just trying to shore up that area. There's a lot of work going on. Last night there's still some water coming over the road in some locations. So we're just trying to eliminate hazards essentially as we go along there. So that's why we're restricting it to local traffic only. Just encouraging people to be very, very safe, discouraging people coming out just looking around. There's drop-offs along the side of the road in many locations, and active washouts still occurring.
Yes, sir.
What's the most urgent need for donation? Would those be things to be used?
Correct. We've actually not had any requests at this time. Most of the stuff that has come in has been unsolicited. Probably the biggest thing coming up as we get this volunteer registration center set up and volunteers out to help clean up yards and things like that, probably like work gloves, rakes, shovels, that kind of thing would be the most useful. But we haven't had any specific requests from anyone yet. So, yes.
Has there been any reports of having difficulty getting into the area, for example, Bill?
I've not heard any reports of shortages on anything. M26 is open all the way down from the bridge down. And so at the very least, people could take 38 from Berida over and then up. So, but 41 is open also, so I don't know why there would be any, but I've not heard any reports of any. Any other question? Oh, sorry. Yeah,
I have a question. I came in for like I'm actually in my house. And I'm wondering, we are in the path of another event like that happening. I don't know if anyone's here official doing that, you know, but somebody actually wearing a mask about making sure they're going to actually work on a buggy. That house I lived in was 1906 house, never had any water in it at all. So this is an anomaly. This is something that's been happening. Erosion, that I've talked about for a while, and poor infrastructure clean water. That is not the best after for all. I have a lot of evidence of experience living there, shouting into the wind and no one first. But since the bleeding happened, it didn't happen. And I want to know what's going to change so it doesn't happen in the next rain event. Because right now we're focusing on infrastructure and we're focusing on seeing the elements. But I've got clues that 600 people stopped by yesterday at least. My house, I just know. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So we're going to even not. We don't look at what's happening above that area. And I know it may not be your hands, any of your local officials, anyone who's coming point where we need to talk about that. Yes, I would say my home, because I have not fallen out. But my worry about what's happening all over again, all people cleaning their cars, it's still safe to have another one fight right back out. Someone needs to look above us. I need to look at the truck around the road, not to see any person, and do something about it. I can talk to your experts.
So we discussed that this morning with all of the agencies involved, and we're working on getting somebody to come in and look at the stormwater management in that area to see what happened and what can be done to remedy it in the future.
If there's nothing holding those hills, then I'm going to start it and follow my status. And we never had a tax report, so it's not because we're in an area
because I'd like to make a comment on that. That's why we're going to have the discussion with the National Guard. Excuse me. I'm State Representative Scott DeAnda. We are going to have the discussion with the National Guard unit, and that's a big thing that's on my mind. The governor will be coming in here today. We're going to have that conversation. We got to look beyond of just what the scope is on the ground. What are the other problems? We're going to have a conversation with the Drain Commissioner to be able to look at these areas. Because a lot of this has come from the mining days. Where you're living, a lot of that area was taken care of with the railroad. Back in the 60s, they'd clean those ditches out. We got to start looking at that infrastructure. Thank you.
Okay, Frida, one more question? Okay, thank you all very much for coming. We are going to tentatively schedule our next press conference for Friday at noon. If something changes, we will have one before that, but at the very least, that will be the next in this room. Thank you all for coming.
And that wraps up the formal press conference here at the Houghton County Courthouse. Basically, what we've been told is things are underway. Some of the highlights that I picked up off of this include the delay that's going to take place in getting M203 open at Sweetown Creek, that bridge completely washed out. It is going to take some time to get either a temporary bridge in there or a permanent replacement, so that's going to take a while. The other thing that struck me about this was that we should all start documenting. And I'll repeat what Chris Van Arsdale said a few minutes ago. If you have damage, make sure that you document every dime that goes into trying to get things repaired, because all of that can add up to help getting financial assistance either from the state or the federal government. You can go ahead and do the work, he said, and if you receive volunteers' help, make sure you log all of that. If you receive donations of goods, make sure you log the value of all of that. If you put that together, that may be the key to getting you some type of assistance. They are going to keep us posted on all of this, and another press conference, as you heard, has been scheduled. We'll keep following this here on 97.7 The Wolf and all of our Houghton Community Broadcasting stations. If you want to know more about what's going on, you can go to our website at KeweenawReport.com. Click on the Closings and Cancellations tab. That will give you the latest information about schedule changes and problems that are going on here in the Copper Country. We're trying to keep information up to date there. And we're posting stories, of course, at KeweenawReport.com as we have the opportunity. But that is it here from the courthouse. And John Carroll, thank you for hosting in the studio. We'll send it back now to 97.7 The Wolf.